B-Pod Studios.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So with that in mind, moving ahead to regular season games, have you made a decision on who will start at quarterback in the regular season opener?
Yeah, no, we still have a lot of decisions to make.
What are you hoping to see in the next couple weeks of practice, Bill, before that first game from the quarterback position to help you make that decision whenever the time comes?
Yeah, well, we'll be focused on preparing for Miami, so that's what we'll do.
Hour number two, Toucher and Rich. No Fred, no Rich. As Bubba tweets in, how many vacation days do you guys take? It should be called the Jones and Friends show now. I don't think that's accurate. I don't think I've been in enough in mornings to take squatter's rights on mornings like Arcan has taken at night. But it's Jones, Wallach, Arcan. Taking your phone call, 617-779-0985. That, of course, was Bill Belichick after the Patriots. 22-20 victory over the Giants, third preseason game. Pats 3-0, while the Giants dropped to 0-3. Very meaningful going into the regular season opener about 2 weeks away. Against the Miami Dolphins. We're going to talk to Jeff Howe of The Athletic about 15 minutes from now. He says that Cam Newton looks like Bill Belichick's choice as the quarterback. I was reading Phil Perry last night. Phil Perry wrote something very similar coming out of the game. He said it looked like a competition all summer, but with 2 weeks remaining before the first regular season game of the year for the Patriots in the preseason finale against the Giants, the competition looked over. It wasn't because of the way Cam Newton or Mac Jones played, per se, which... Mac Jones, again, outplayed Cam Newton. Newton was 2 for 5 for 10 yards and a pick last night. Like, he stunk. So, per se, yeah, I guess it wasn't about the way they played, Phil. It was because of when they played and because of whom they played with. Newton started on Sunday night, continuing with the trend we've seen throughout all of training camp and preseason, playing two series with other Patriots offensive starters, and that was it. He was pulled, along with the rest of the Patriots starting offense, in order to get Mac Jones and other offensive backups into the game. So, Phil... Jeff Howe agreeing across the board that it sounds like Cam Newton is going to be the guy. Wallach, I know you agree.
Phil's absolutely right. I mean, you're right. Mac Jones has outplayed Cam Newton from the beginning of training camp to now. But when push comes to shove, Belichick's playing Newton with the ones more often than Mac Jones. And Newton got the starter's treatment last night.
That's inarguable.
He's in for the first two series and he's out. You know, we don't want to get him hurt for the opener. So Jones... is being groomed as the next guy, hopefully sooner rather than later. Belichick's mixing him in with the ones during joint practices. He's doing everything he can to get this kid up to speed. And it looks like he's picking it up quickly. And when he was drafted, that's what we were sold. Jones has the mind where he can pick up an NFL offense probably faster than anybody else who was drafted in the top 15. Any of the five first-round quarterbacks, Jones could probably accelerate his learning curve a lot quicker. However, he will not be as good as any of the four before him. That's the bill of goods that we were sold. He's been very good in this preseason, far beyond expectations. He's running two-minute drills. He's moving people around. He's picking up blitzes. He's getting line checks
together. Thing Phil wrote about, like, the different personnel. Like, they're using 20 personnel, 21 personnel, 11 personnel.
He's good with one back.
Not to pretend to know what any of those are, but yes.
He's good with five receivers. He's good. He can run the offense. He sees what a quarterback should see in this offense, and hopefully the wide receivers see the same thing. None of that matters. Cam Newton is the starting quarterback of this team. It is mystifying. It's frustrating as hell to watch, but he is the starting quarterback for this team.
So let me give you one other item here. Reese put out a 53-man projection. Mike Reese on ESPN Boston put out a 53-man projection last night. He projected two quarterbacks on the roster, Cam Newton, Mac Jones. He did say, no change from the last projection, but if Coach Bill Belichick decides Jones is ready to start from day one, so Reese isn't ruling it out, it would be easy to envision a scenario in which Newton is given the choice on whether he wants to stick around. Newton has seemed to earn that level of respect from Belichick, and if he ever decided he wanted out, it would open a spot for Brian Hoyer. So I don't know. It doesn't sound like Reese thinks the competition is over. It's not the first time Reese has written that, you know, Cam Newton may get veteran treatment and veteran status. And look, Cam, if we're going to go with Mac Jones, do you want to be a backup? So I don't think it's over. And until Bill announces Cam, I'm going to assume it's Mac Jones, the guy he drafted 15th and the guy who's played better. I'm not going to overthink it. And I don't think Bill's an idiot. I think he's a little overrated these days based on what Brady's done without Bill. I think he's a little overrated. I don't think he's dumb. He has working eyeballs. He sees what we all see. You think we're sitting there watching the game going, wow, look at Mac pre-snap. Look at the different personnel. Look at him running the 2-minute. Look how he looks better than Cam Newton. If we can see it, you don't think Bill can see it? So until Bill announces Cam, I'm convinced. And Arkham, back me up on this. I haven't wavered. The second they drafted Mac Jones, I'm like, he's the starter.
Yeah.
We're not going to go back to Cam.
No, you. And it's not just that you wanted it. You believe that it's going to happen.
No, exactly. And we all want it. I think it's going to happen until I hear Bill say otherwise, because I really don't think Bill's an idiot.
He's not naming a starter until 2 days before the game.
Oh, then
he's not doing it. And it's going to be Cam Newton. It's going to be Cam Newton. Sorry,
you agree with Wallach?
Well, yes, and I also think this. Like, you say Bill's not stupid and, you know, all these things. I tend to agree with you. He's not. We all see it. We all see that Mac Jones is better, but we all saw Cam Newton last year, too. We all watched that. We all saw it with our own eyes. We saw how bad he was. Bill Belichick saw that, and he re-signed him right away. So, I mean, you know, he's obviously got a bit of a blind spot here for Cam Newton. I don't think you're acknowledging that.
No, I mean, I acknowledge there's a bit of a blind spot going on. I certainly do. I mean, I was pissed when Cam Newton got first reps on Thursday. At bare minimum, I thought Bill just should have sent a message that said, hey, it's not okay. It's not okay to ignore COVID protocol and have a quote-unquote misunderstanding.
But he didn't.
No, he did not. So I'm saying, I do acknowledge there's a blind spot there. But you can like someone and at some point realize that it's not best for your football team and it's not even close.
I just want to go back to something you said when we started the segment. Or not even 5 minutes ago, you were saying, and it was a connection with Mike Reese had said, that, you know, Cam Newton might ask off this football team. Cam Newton's not asking off this football team.
He might.
Well, to do what?
I don't know. To go try to latch on somewhere else.
Really? You think another team's going to take a shot at him?
I think it's easier
based on what you saw, any other NFL team watching
as a backup
last year, Cam Newton's not going anywhere as a backup. He's not going to go anywhere else as
a
backup.
It's easier, and here's why I think he would.
He's going to leave here and go be a backup somewhere else?
Yes.
Not at all.
It's easier to be a backup somewhere else.
Why?
Because he was the starter here last year. It's a bigger bruise to your ego if you're the backup on the team you used to be the starter on. If you go be a backup somewhere else, it's a fresh start.
He won't be a backup on another team. And you know what? He's got a head coach that loves him here.
Wallach, you think he's going to start here and no other team would sign him in the whole league?
Yes.
That's why he won't start. That's insane.
No one would have signed him last year.
No one would have signed him last year.
So why do you guys think he's going to be the starter?
Because Bill likes him, that's why.
He doesn't like him that much.
He does.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that for a second. He likes him enough.
Not that much.
Your statement
the whole rest of the league.
If the quarterback race is close, you should start Jones. Now, while I agree with you.
Yeah, it's not close. Mac's been better.
But Bill Belichick thinks, if it's close, I'll go with the veteran.
Yeah, it hasn't been close, FYI.
It's close enough.
No, it's not. It's not close. And if it were close, I still think Bill would go with Mac Jones. It's not close.
Cam Newton is not going to start for any other team in this league. And he's not going to go somewhere else and be a backup.
I agree with that. He might go somewhere else and be a backup. Take it up with Reese then. He's the one who wrote it.
I will.
Jonathan is in the car. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hi. I like when you guys are on because I can actually get a call through. But
I take that as a personal insult, but keep going. Yes.
Oh, no. I don't mean it that way. I apologize. But I have called a few times defending Cam, I'm here to admit defeat. I want to see Mac play. at this point, after watching particularly last preseason game, but Cam just can't run that hurry up offense. He just won't be able to, as much as I like him. But what my thought is I think it's going to be a similar situation to last year in Miami, the Fitzpatrick Tagovailoa split after the bye. I was wondering what you guys thought, if how that would go over, if that's something that might be beneficial.
So I mean, and it's Tua Tagovailoa. I think you saw with Miami last year, if you switch on the fly and the team's doing well, even with a highly thought of kid, that's dangerous. And so, look, I mean, maybe Cam Newton starts the year and maybe they start okay. I'm not convinced they beat Miami or the Jets or the Saints. They might start 0-3 if Cam's their quarterback. Like, I'm not convinced they beat any of those two. Oh, it's just the Jets week 2. You almost lost to the Jets last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys were paying attention. You should have lost to the Jets with Cam Newton last year. I'm not convinced they beat the Jets in week two. They did lose to the Dolphins last year. I'm not convinced they beat them week one. But if they start well and it's a Dolphins-type scenario, I don't think Bill would do what Flores did last year.
No. No. He's gonna keep the kid on the bench and let him soak up as much regular season atmosphere as he can. Cam Newton is going to start this season, and God help us all if he starts well, because he will be cemented as the starter for maybe the entire year.
I've said this a million times.
God help us if the Patriots start 5-1 and that loss is to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, Cam Newton start the rest of the season.
Patriots start 5-1, I'm going to be very surprised. I'm going to be pleasantly surprised.
If Cam wins like 9 or 10 games this year, they make the playoffs, they get bombarded in the wild card round, worst thing that could happen to the team.
Yes, long term, I agree. Because then you bring Cam back for another season.
You might bring Cam back. You know nothing about Mac Jones when the games matter. Like, that'd be the worst case scenario. And you're like stuck in stupid limbo. So, yes, that would be a problem. 617-779-0985. Many of you looking to weigh in here on the quarterback competition. We will get to you, and we'll check in with Jeff Howe of The Athletic next.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Insiders.
Mr. Jaffe, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
A first and 10, and a quick throw. Open and completed to Isaiah Zuber. Touchdown, Patriots.
Good drive. Great drive to reassert yourself in this game.
Reassert themselves. It's the undefeated Patriots you're talking about. 3-0 this preseason. I'd expect a banner any day now. At Gillette Stadium, Mac Jones, 10-14, 156, a touchdown. He could have had a second touchdown in that game last night. He again outperforms Cam Newton. Rinse, repeat, as we do week in and week out. Will it matter when it comes to opening day, opening weekend, week one, September 12th, against the Miami Dolphins? It's Adam Jones, John Wallach, Christian Arcan in for Fred and Rich here today. We're taking you up until 10 a.m. on a Monday morning, and joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Jeff Howe of The Athletic. Jeff, doesn't seem like it's going to matter. Mac Jones's performance, you wrote today, Cam Newton looks like Bill's starting choice. Why is that?
We have to go by everything that we've seen over the last month. I mean, Cam Newton has led off every single period in practice when they've been out there together. Cam Newton has started all 3 preseason games. And looking at last night, Cam Newton played both series with the starters alongside him. So, I mean, if you look at the most obvious signs, Mac Jones coming in for the second time in 3 preseason games with the backup offensive line, and the only exception there was he got one series with the starting offensive line in the opener, that tells me that Belichick is making sure that he's gearing up to have Cam Newton be the number one guy in week one. Now, look, we could play devil's advocate, throw some conspiracy theories. We could say that the way that Belichick has handled the joint practices, he's really put a lot of emphasis on those. I mean, only playing the starting offense for 7 series in the preseason, they got a lot more quality reps than that in the joint practices over the last 2 weeks with the Eagles and Giants. And Mac Jones got a lot of reps against the starters and with the starters in those 4 workouts. And then you look at the way that Mac Jones played with the starters and against the starting Patriots defense, not just last week, but really over since August 4th. So you look at those reps, and Mac Jones has been the better quarterback in those situations as well when going against the Patriots starting defense. And you could look at that overall body of work and say, all right, Bill Belichick is showing us something. Is he doing it because it's clear as day right in front of us that Cam Newton is going to be the starter? Or is he, you know, trying to, is the ruse on, you know, is he just
Yes.
Kind of showing us something for the sake of fooling the doll.
All right. Given all that you just said, Jeff, and I agree with you, Cam Newton's going to be the starting quarterback on for at least week one and probably beyond if he has any success at all. But why is Bill Belichick doing this? Obviously, Mac Jones has proven he can play. The offense looks a lot more fluid with him out there. He's run the two-minute drill. He's obviously got his protections together, and he's got the arm strength. Why isn't Mac Jones a starter?
I mean, it's a good question because you look at every single passing. I don't bang my head against the wall to compile all these passing stats and training camp for a month of my life, you know, for nothing. So I think that but by every single metric, again, with the starting offense, or not even with the starting offense, just against the starting defense, or against the Giants and against the Eagles in joint practices, or just in totality, all team drills, Mac Jones outperformed Cam Newton in every single one of those categories. This isn't me just cherry picking 7-on-7s or Mac Jones and his opportunities against the backups. This is in totality across the board. Mac Jones has been the better player statistically. Now that removes the most vital factor of Cam Newton's game, and that's his ability to use his legs. And, you know, he just doesn't run in practice because that they don't want him to do that. It's not like, you know, watching Daniel Jones take off every single time that he feels like he's under pressure. So they kind of make sure that Cam Newton stays in the pocket, and then you start playing a little more of a playground style when he's able to run and create plays if the pocket breaks down and so on and so forth. We also haven't seen the option element in the offense at all in the preseason. Cam Newton didn't run a single time, and that's not a coincidence. I mean, that's clearly by design. They want to make sure they keep him as healthy as possible, and they want to have, you know, less tape for teams like the Dolphins and Jets starting things off here. So what are we missing? I mean, I have to admit that there are things that I just don't know. I can't see what's going on in the film room after every single practice. I can't see what's going on in the meeting rooms. And when they say that Cam Newton has a better feel for the offense, I mean, there's got to be a lot of truth to that. Sure, his numbers are down from this camp to last camp, but if they have to be thinking, all right, what happens if there's some adversity? What happens if they need to come back or they need to really open up the offense? I mean, maybe they just don't think that Mac Jones is ready for that. I mean, I have to tell you, everything I've seen over the last month is just the stuff that's right in front of me. I think Mac Jones has a strong ability to adapt and get into a groove the more chances you give him. But there's got to be something that I'm missing that is happening behind the scenes.
Jeff Arcand here. I wonder how you think Bill is going to handle Cam Newton going forward in the sense of him being unvaccinated, and if he's around somebody who happens to test positive, he's going to have to be gone for 5 days. Like, how do they as a team manage something as unpredictable as that could end up being?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a fair question, and it's something that became very real last week. And when you break a protocol as an unvaccinated player, it's cut and dry. You get that 5-day reentry period, and that could happen. I mean, we saw what happened last week in Buffalo. A couple players got exposed to a trainer who was COVID positive, and the unvaccinated ones had to get sent home for 5 days. It could be as simple as that. I mean, Cam Newton could do everything right. He could, you know, get his car serviced back to his apartment and go right upstairs and, you know, not see anybody. And then he can come into the facility and one person has a positive test and you could be in the room with him and boom, he's gone. And then you lose your starting quarterback for 5 days. And regardless of when that happens in the week, I mean, that means you're going to be out the game because you're going to miss 3 practices or at least enough practices that Bill Belichick's just not going to play you as the starter that week. So yeah, I mean, at any moment, Cam Newton could be taken away from the Patriots for a game, and that's something that I would guarantee that Bill Belichick and the staff spent time in meetings discussing last week because it happened.
Jeff, is there any sense, and I know this hasn't been, or at least I haven't seen any reporting on it recently, but is there any sense of what the vaccination level is in New England? There were a flood of reports at the beginning of training camps and preseason where this team's at 85%, that team's at 85%, the Falcons are at 100%. I haven't seen anything on the Patriots, which leads me to believe they're still below that threshold, but any sense from you that you've gotten about what their vaccination level is?
No, I haven't gotten a number or percentage or anything like that. We could look at the clues and guys who are wearing masks. I haven't taken meticulous notes on that, but, you know, Cam Newton, obviously, at this point, we know what his status is. And then, you know what, it's like, it's hard because I don't want to read too much into the masks because it could be a personal choice. They could be, you know, trying to stay extra safe for somebody at home or something like that. But the numbers, at least from what I'm looking at in terms of players and the mask stuff, I would say it's probably less than five players.
All right, Jeff, I wanted to go back to the game for a second. What did you make of Mac Jones blowing off Cam Newton and then Newton chasing him down to give it to get that high five from him? I found it interesting, and obviously in an exhibition game, we tend to focus on these things a little bit more, but it just the byplay between the two of them, given the competition between them, I found interesting.
Oh, it's because he hates him.
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
Good. That's what we thought.
Thanks.
Okay, good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Jeff. No, it seems just the whole thing I found interesting because Jones knows he's there and Newton's, you know, walking like a robot next to him, making sure he gets the high five. The whole thing's just really strange.
I mean, I didn't even see it happening in real time. I saw it happen way after the game and after Matt Jones' reaction to it in the post-game news conference there. I mean, he said he didn't see him, and I know how it can get a little loud on the sidelines, especially after everybody's down there celebrating or whatever, but I can't imagine that's intentional. Everything that I've heard, going back to Alabama, high school, whatever, everything I've learned about Mac Jones is that the guy is an A-plus teammate. That would be totally uncharacteristic of him to just blow off Cam Newton. I know they have a really good relationship. So, yeah, I mean, I think that was just it looked stranger on camera than it probably should have.
All right, Jeff, we got one day till September here. Camp's officially over, and I feel like no progress has been made with Stephon Gilmore. Is that true, or have you heard anything, or are we sort of just playing the waiting game still?
Yeah, I haven't heard of any progress, and, you know, that could be by design. It could be intentional. These sides have been, intentionally silent on a lot of these matters, but it's bizarre, and I mean, Gilmore said, a couple months ago that he could be ready for training camp if needed in that interview with Josina Anderson. And training camp's over. Training camp started a month ago. So I'm not sure what the timeline is here. I mean, at this point, 13 days from the season opener, even if he was back out there at practice tomorrow, can you realistically expect him to be ready to play 100% of the snaps against the Dolphins? I mean, that's a lot to ask. I mean, he's putting yourself into football shape and then coming off the quad injury from last year. I mean, you don't want to start all of a sudden going full speed in less than 2 weeks. You see a million guys end up with some type of muscle injury or pull or whatever when they do stuff like that. So even when he comes back, I mean, you're going to have to manage his snap count, his rep count in practice. But still, I mean, there's a big deadline coming tomorrow at 4:00. And if the Patriots are looking at this and seeing Stephon Gilmore, whether it's due to the injury or whether it's due to the contract or a combination of both, I mean, I'd have to think that keeping him on pup for the first 6 weeks is becoming more of a possibility than anybody ever imagined, even just a week ago.
You know, given that, I mean, I watched the secondary, the first string secondary play those first two series. I mean, the Giants had a lot of drop balls and all the backups, more specifically Juwan Williams, although he made a good play at the goal line. You know, there are receivers running open. I'm a little worried about this secondary because Jonathan Jones is dinged, and that's one less seasoned player on the field. I don't think any of the backups are ready. I mean, should we be concerned about this?
Well, look, you guys know how I feel about Stephon Gilmore as a player. I mean, I thought last year he had a way better year than people gave him credit for. So you take him off the field, it doesn't matter who you put in his place, your defense isn't as good. So, the Patriots have the cap room. I'm not sure what the hard line negotiation stance is going on, you know, behind the scenes with each side. But when you hear, you know, the Darius Slay deal come to light again and again and again, you know that 3 years and $50 million extension is something that, you know, he's looking at. Even if some of that money isn't totally real, I mean, it's not a great comparable because of the age difference, I guess. You know, Gilmore's older than Slay was when he got that deal. The Eagles didn't have any real leverage because they just traded for him. So, you know, Slay's camp knew that they had to extend themselves for that contract. But I'm surprised that the sides haven't been able to reach some type of compromise. And I know his cap hit is north of $16 million right now, and that only factors in the ability to make up to $7.5 million. But I mean, just give him like a $7 million raise. And yeah, I know that gets his cap hit to 23-something point whatever million, and that's a lot of money for a cornerback, but just take that stuff, you know, take the cap hit out of it. You have the cap space to do it. But again, I don't know if there's, you know, what's the sticking point here? And then the other side of it, if you're the Patriots, you got to get him on the field. So if Gilmore is doing one of those hold-ins, and I don't know for sure that he is, because again, everybody's kind of keeping this stuff quiet, or as quiet as they can, the Patriots have to say, well, how about some good faith? How about you get on the field? And, you know, I've used these examples in the past over the past month. You know, Tom Brady got his raise, and I know it's impossible to compare anybody to Tom Brady, but Tom Brady got his raise in 2019 on August 4th, and he was at practice. And Rob Gronkowski got his raise in 2018 on August 30th, and that's because he was on the field. So if the Patriots are just going to give somebody out an outright raise the way that they did in those previous examples, they're going to want to see him on the field, and they deserve to be able to see Gilmore on the field, especially if he's coming off a season-ending injury. So, you know, both sides kind of have to figure out a way to play nice here because the clock is ticking.
All right. He is Jeff Howe of The Athletic. Check out his latest there. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff P. Howe. Jeff, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
All right. Jeff Howe, as all our guests, joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. So, by the way, while we're asking about Stephon Gilmore, I had looked in the last break. ESPN came out with their top 100 players in the league. Gilmore is the only Patriot in the top 100. Any guesses where he checks in?
75.
Yeah, we're factoring in last year, so it's in the bottom 50.
26.
Really?
26 best player
That's
in the league?
Much higher than I thought. I agree with both of you. That has him as the fourth highest corner in the league.
Damn.
Behind Ramsey, Xavien Howard, and I believe Tre'Davious White.
Okay.
26th overall. Again, the fourth corner and six spots behind Tom Brady, still in the top 20, despite the Patriots letting him go. So anyway, I found that interesting because that's Gilmore's leverage to me.
He's
the best player on the team. He's the best player on the team. What do you mean, what leverage does he have? He's the best player, and they just spent a bunch of money in free agency.
It's the same as before. Patriots want to see him on the field before they give him the money. Gilmore wants money before he gets on the field.
I'm sure the Seahawks wanted to see Jamal Adams on the field. They extended him without
Gilmore,
seeing it.
And Gilmore has all the leverage at this point. You take a look at the secondary, and I'll go back to what I said to Jeff Howe. There are a lot of Giants receivers running free in those first two series.
Yep.
You saw one really bad drop. Now, the Patriots have a very good front seven. They were able to get pressure on the quarterback. And if you roll out the secondary without Stephon Gilmore and Jonathan Jones, again, not that Jones is a great player, but he's a key player for you in the slot, considering all the passing that goes on in the NFL, that front seven's got to get a lot of pressure on the quarterback to bail out that secondary, who won't have to cover as long. I mean, this is going to be a problem if this goes on, and especially if you put Stephon Gilmore on PUP to begin the season.
617-779-0985. You can jump in on Gilmore. We talked a lot about who the Patriots starter is going to be week one. Who might be facing the Patriots when they play the Dolphins week one? Let's get to that right after the update here from Arkin.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do, watch every basketball game? 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Here on the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich, no Fred, no Rich, Jones, Wallach, Arkans. It's a pseudo night show takeover, although as Wallach pointed out earlier today, if you're here, it really can't be a full-on takeover.
Right, and I feel like he's babysitting us.
I think, honestly, I think we've saved the listeners from full-on negativity for 4 hours.
That's true. Well, I will do my best to work in as much as possible. But I had what I thought was just a brilliant tease earlier while like it came to me on the spot. Just, you know, Marconi-worthy tease. I say, hey, everybody else is talking about who's starting for the Patriots week one? Is it Cam? Is it Mac? Is it Mac? Is it Cam? These guys think it's Cam. I still think it's Mac Jones. And you can weigh in at 617-779-0985. Not it should be Mac Jones. Everybody with eyeballs thinks it should be. I think it will be. But who will start for the Dolphins week one? Very interesting question, Jones. It's got to be Tua, right? Got to be.
He's actually looked pretty good.
Has he? I honestly, I haven't really seen any of the Dolphins.
I mean, considering, you know, the terrible games he had last year for long periods of time, and when they made the switch from Fitzpatrick to Tua off a bye week in Miami, was playing pretty well. I didn't understand it, but he's looked much better this summer.
Charles Robinson, Yahoo, very plugged in guy. Headline, sources: Dolphins top candidate to land Deshaun Watson via trade. This is from Saturday. The Miami Dolphins have emerged as the frontrunner in trade talks for Houston Texans star Deshaun Watson, sources tell Yahoo Sports. The Texans are seeking 3 first-round draft picks and 2 second-round selections. A team that dropped out of trade discussions with Houston told Yahoo. 3 other teams have also been a part of trade considerations, according to sources, including the Broncos, who are currently starting Teddy Bridgewater, the Carolina Panthers, who are currently starting Sam Darnold, and the Philadelphia Eagles, who just traded for Gardner Minshew over the weekend. Not great for people who like Jalen Hurts like me. I'm a big Hurts guy. I saw that Minshew trade. I said, not great for him. Sources said teams have been seeking pick protections in a trade in order to mitigate a potential NFL suspension or criminal prosecution tied to ongoing investigations by the FBI, Harris County prosecutors, and the Houston Police Department into sexual assault allegations from multiple women. The NFL also has an ongoing probe into allegations. According to multiple sources familiar with the talks, one factor that has weighed heavily on potential deals for the Texans has been Watson's no-trade clause, which ownership signed off on as a part of the latest extension. The clause gives Watson the power to veto any trade destination, which has given him significant element of leverage in any deal. A source close to Watson said that his representation had informed the Texans that Watson would waive the clause to facilitate a deal to the Dolphins. He doesn't write only to the Dolphins, but it seems like as of right now, that's the only place he'd facilitate a deal. So Charles Robinson says the Dolphins are a front runner. Does that impact week one? I don't know. Are you buying these latest rumors that Watson could get dealt?
No, I'm not. And especially with the price that Houston is asking for.
Even with the protections or however it's put, where it would downgrade?
Downgrade to what?
That's a good question.
Important part. I mean, look, if they're asking for multiple first, 5 picks, you know, 3 firsts and 2 seconds. Now, in a normal world where there wasn't this cloud of legalese above him, yeah, 3 firsts and 2 seconds sounds about right for a franchise quarterback.
I'd trade it for him.
Yes, but considering what he is facing, there are 22 different allegations against him, any one of which could sink him.
Well, right. And those are civil, right? But there's an ongoing criminal investigation as well. And the NFL's probe.
Right. And plus you have
the NFL's probe.
No, but they're not gonna find anything, but they can suspend him. If he's found guilty of anything, civilly or criminally.
They don't have to do anything. They can put him on the commissioner's exempt list. They don't even have to suspend him.
So if you spend all that capital and get a guy who can't play for you for a year, and you know maybe this guy goes to jail at some point, what a waste that would be.
So all these plugged-in NFL writers are getting duped?
No, I think that's the agent for Deshaun Watson trying to make some noise here. I think he was the one who leaked it to him.
I don't know. A writer like Charles Robinson is just going to say, well, his agent told me I'm just going to run with it. Like, I feel like he has to have more than that. He's one of the better reporters in the NFL. And Arkan, you've heard me say this a lot. I enjoy his work.
I like Robinson.
I think he's very plugged in. So I don't think he's the kind of guy who just Deshaun Watson's agent calls and he just regurgitates it. I don't. I think he would vet that.
I think there were conversations between the two teams. But and I was reading an article from Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald last night. It said, you know, Miami, there's no way Miami's forking over that much. Protections or no protections.
Team guy. Local beat guy. Team guy.
I see. So we're going to dismiss this report because he covers the team?
No, I'm just saying I would put more stock in a national guy than a local guy. I'm sure the Dolphins are crapping all over the idea. I'm sure they're putting it out and saying, no, because you can't let out there that you don't have faith in Tua.
Or the Dolphins like what Tua has done, and the price is way too much at this point to replace it.
I think it's something more like that. I think when you have a situation like the one with Watson, you try and buy in and get him cheap, right? Like, I mean, you try and get him for less because it's a distressed asset. You know, it's the sort of the Antonio Brown thing, right? You don't have to give up that much for him because there's all this stuff going on.
Absolutely.
But they're still asking for a crazy haul, and maybe that's why all those other teams dropped out of the talks, and Miami's the only one still there.
The fact that they're putting some sort of protection on the picks makes me believe that there could be momentum in this. The fact that it's like, all right, we want three first-round picks, but maybe they downgrade to second or third rounders. And those second rounders, maybe they downgrade to fifth or sixth rounders. You're still giving up a lot of draft picks, but that's a lot easier to stomach. It could be, by the way, Wallach, it could be. And imagine the optics of this. Cam Newton versus Deshaun Watson week one.
Yeah.
Patriots, like it could. I'm not saying it will be, but it could be that week one. How awful would that look for the Pats?
Yeah.
The Dolphins have two better quarterbacks than what you're starting week one.
And that's just what you need. Deshaun Watson coming into your division, considering all the other teams.
Well, bingo. Yeah, never mind the long-term ramifications as well on top of that. 617-779-0985. So you can jump in on the latest on Deshaun Watson from over the weekend as well. We will get back to more on the Patriots quarterbacks. However, it's not quite fart court that I want to get to next, Wallach. This is a very clear admission of a bathroom incident gone wrong on live television at a sporting event. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll get to it next.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Than me, way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich,
and I don't look good
on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're coming up on 8 o'clock, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Jones, Wallach, Arcan. In for Toucher and Rich, taking you up until 10 here on a Monday with all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. We'll get back to the Patriots quarterback competition, which some feel, I know Wallach feels strongly about this, was never actually a competition in the first place. I still think Bill is going to go with Mac. Until I hear Bill announce it, I can't imagine he's that obtuse to keep going with Cam Newton. Even if he has a soft spot for him, I can't imagine that. So we'll get back into that coming up. And I know Wallach, and you know, the night show, the poop stories are very near and dear to the night show.
Have you listened to Fart Court
of the show?
Well, have you listened to Fart Court?
Well, and so this is what I'm saying. So I know you guys will dabble in farts. I'm sure you'll dabble in poop from time to time.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, this seems like a story that really not only is appealing to the night show, but will be appealing to Toucher and Rich as well. So I saw this headline over the weekend. Lewis Hamilton, you familiar with him?
F1, one of the best out there.
F1 driver. He's the voice of Hamilton in Cars 3. If you have a child who's a fan of the Cars series,
yeah.
He's
seen all three of them.
He's Hamilton in Cars 3, okay. As I came to realize. So Lewis Hamilton, F1 driver, very, very well known. Actually, I think one of, like, in terms of endorsements, one of the most highly paid endorsed athletes in terms of endorsements in the world.
He's like the Michael Jordan of the sport.
Correct.
Yes.
Or like a Federer or something like that. When Federer was making the endorsement money he makes is crazy. It says Lewis Hamilton had a traumatizing bathroom experience ahead of an F1 race at Spa. I don't know where the Spa track is.
Okay.
So if you've ever watched any racing, and I've watched very minimal racing, NASCAR or anything else, what they give you are like these headset interviews. They'll like go into the car when they're in like the pit or whatever, or maybe even driving, and you'll have the racer talking to his crew, right? And you'll get some of that. And I think it's mostly pretty dry. I think it's mostly pretty benign, but I guess every once and then they loosen up a little bit. And so we were given that on an actual television broadcast over the weekend. Here's Lewis Hamilton talking about said traumatizing bathroom experience. Go ahead.
Glad I went to the toilet. The one I went to, someone had dropped a crazy bomb in there. It was the worst thing ever.
Oh, no.
The pros and cons of this.
It's going to haunt me for life.
So it's someone dropped a crazy bomb in the back. So how long are you stuck in the car for when you're driving these F1 races? So you're stuck in there. He's like, well, I had to go toilet. I had to go to the bathroom before this race, and I'm happy I did. But the one I went into, crazy bomb. Crazy bomb
it's like
in there.
Being here at the radio station, once a sales force comes in,
right?
whenever they choose to arrive.
Yeah, I'm not a. Yeah. I know people have their bathrooms here. I'm not. I don't even like to urinate in the bathroom downstairs.
No, you see, here's the thing.
I don't even like to urinate in that bathroom. Look, because you have like the scarlet letter of pooping if you go into that. That's the I pooped in their bathroom. Right. So I don't even like to pee in that bathroom again, you are now branded as poop guy when you come out of that bathroom.
The worst part about it is you want to go downstairs, and we've discussed this at length on this program. Yeah. I know you're usually maybe not during the summer, but most of the time you're asleep, so you don't hear it. We've discussed this at length. Fred will not go upstairs. He only goes downstairs because you walk out of there and someone walks in afterwards. They see you walking away. They know you're responsible for destroying that bathroom.
Yes.
But ultimately.
Yeah, but sometimes you walk in there and it's destroyed.
Yes.
I know what Lewis Hamilton's talking about. It will haunt you for life
sometimes. I've walked in and just walked out.
Yeah.
I'm not even doing this.
And every once in a while that you go in there and there's a smell you can't recognize, you know, like, what the hell was that guy eating? You know,
yes.
I mean, you start thinking about these things and it's 8 a.m. It's not pleasant.
And this is what's really not great about the morning shift is, the morning, you know, what's is, right. You know, you got a fresh pot of coffee. And yeah, you're dealing with
my constitution is all messed up today. Not it's a bad
story. Is that a warning for all of us? Hold on, Arcane. Is that a warning for all of us later?
I may be making it some point. Yeah.
So I've now worked nights long enough where my whole schedule is just adjusted. Forget about like your circadian rhythm. My whole thing has shifted. Like I no longer am a poop in the morning guy. No longer. I've been working nights long enough. And maybe this summer is going to screw it up. But where now it's just I'm more of a night guy.
I see. Okay. Thanks for the tip. So I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about you. I got to worry about him.
But that hasn't happened to Arkin. Okay. What you say?
No.
Well, Arkin, you know.
My body's making all sorts of weird
noises. He's just parachuting in. I mean, he's here for one day. He's parachuting in.
No, I'm saying at night, you haven't had the circadian shift yet to turning into a night guy is what I'm saying.
No, I'd say at night I got my rhythm going pretty well. But this morning thing,
this morning is a problem.
My morning's a problem.
Is this? Are we going to have to do a break without you at some point here? You got 2 hours left. Can you hang in?
Someone may drop a ball in my honey hole pretty soon.
Now look, I normally think it's too dry these interactions that they have on these broadcasts. But if we're going to get more poop talk on there, great. Like whether it's F1 racing, whether it's like the All-Star game, they mic up these players in the outfield. Like more of that. That's more what I want. I don't want the planned out, like, super boring interview that they normally have. Yeah. Oh, hey, let's go talk to the outfield. Let's go to the outfield. We're going to have this great humor. No.
Yeah,
How
many left turns did you take?
This is what I want. I want them talking about what human beings talk. This is the kind of thing human beings talk about. This is what we talk about. So good. That was an actual human moment there on the F1 broadcast. So good
for
that.
The one I went to, someone had dropped a crazy bomb in there. It was the worst thing ever.
Like, that's what we need more of in sports. More conversations like that. 617-779-0985. You can jump in at any point here on Toucher and Rich. It is Jones, Wallach, and Arcan. Arcan with the latest here in your Hub headlines. Let's get back to our quarterback competition with the Patriots. Cam Newton, does he have it wrapped up? I will do that right after the update.
Glad I went to the toilet.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.